Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
We're going to sing about the faithfulness of God. Are you ready to sing with us? We're going to sing about His faithfulness. He's such a faithful God. I've seen Him show up for me in unique ways. You know, that's why I'm quite reckless when I worship. I can't do anyhow, anywhere beloved. Somebody say anywhere beloved. Are you ready to worship God with me like that? That is the kind of worship I want. So put your head somebody.
Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Jehoshua. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, mighty God, mighty Jesus. Hallelujah. Mighty Yeshua. Mighty Jehoshua. Thank you, Lord. We are grateful for his love. We are grateful for his mercy that endureth forever. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Jehoshua. Thank you, mighty Lord. What an awesome God we serve. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Before the return of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Our heart needs to be ready. Our life needs to be ready. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Our mind needs to be set on him. Thank you, Sister Estrella. Thank you, Lord. So shalom, shalom, Brother Brian, Sister Estrella, Sister Luna, Brother Arley, the Lord's servant, shalom, sister. Hope everyone's are doing fine. Seeking the Lord, looking forward to meeting the Lord in the cloud. Soon as the shofar, the trumpet sound. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. He is good, and his love endures forever. He gave his life for us on the cross, that we may have life and have it abundantly. And only through his blood can we have abundant life. And he shed his blood. He shed his life on the cross. Thank you, Lord. So each and one of us may have the opportunity, blessing, to be able to take part in his kingdom, in his salvation, in his eternal life that he's given to us. Each and one of us. Thank you, Lord. I was given a blessing this week to look into paradise. Hallelujah. I'm going to talk about it a little bit later on more. Thank you, Lord. But I tell you, what a blessing awaited the sons and daughters of God who are enduring, who are persevering, who are looking forward to meeting the Lord in the cloud, because this rapture, the pasture of the bride of Christ, is closer than ever. Hallelujah. That's what I receive in my spirit. That's what I saw. That's what I experienced. It is undeniable truth, my brother and sister, that your spirit experiences when you, hallelujah, experience heaven, experience the presence of God, experience that glorious place. Hallelujah. I was gazing at what I was looking at. I could not steadily just looking at it. Gaze to what I was looking at, because it was too much, it was too powerful, it was too awesome. Hallelujah. It was one of the moments that you don't want to move, you want to stay there, because my Lord, my God, he is good, and what he have accomplished for us at the cross, it is beyond anything else we know, my brother and sister. That's why the suffering of this life is worth it. Whatever suffering you've been going through, whatever hardship, difficult time, rejection, okay, that sickness that you've been going through, it is all worth it. Hallelujah. And the joy that you are going to experience, it is not going to be temporary, but it's going to be eternal. Remember that this life is temporary. That's what the Word of God says. But eternity with God is forever and ever and ever. It never ends. And that's what God has for them that love him, my brother and sister. So you don't want to miss what God has in store for you, what God has in heaven for you, the mansion, the place. I looked up a mansion in heaven and that glorious light. And I was just there steadily looking at it. Wow. The Lord wanted to give me a taste of what is awaiting us. And that is closer than what we think. My brother and sister, there's going to be surprise. John 6:27 said, "Labor not for the meat which perish, but for that which endure unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man should give unto you." Hallelujah. "For unto him how God the Father set his seal." There's been seal. and the seal in his blood and his band shed, the seal, you and I have been sealed unto the day of salvation. We belong to God. If you have received Christ as your Lord and Savior into your life, let me tell you, you belong to him. That's why you're not of your own anymore. Your decision, you have to bring it through to him. Before you make any decision, you have to come to him. You have to put it in his hand. And you have to say, Lord, if it's thy will that I will do this, should I do this, Lord? Hallelujah. Because when you do this, you become like Christ, who said in Gethsemane, not my will, but thy will be done. So he's seeking, always seek to do the will of the Father. And we have to have the same attitude of gratitude every day, seeking the will of God. It's not easy, but it's not impossible. Jesus did it, and he taught us how to do it, submitting our will to his will. Well, it's not my will, but thy will be done. Jesus said, Jesus, pray. My brother and sister, prayer is what we need. The lack of prayer is what makes the lack of decision. But when you spend time with God in prayer, spend time talking to God every day, your decisions are easily made. His will, not your own. The struggle with this flesh we all have, it's not like one struggle more than the other, because we're all in the similar body, flesh, full of temptation and desire, wicked desire of this world. But we have to make the decision to say, no, not my will, but thy will be done. It is a simple decision that seems difficult, that the devil wants you to think, oh, it's so hard. It is so difficult. Hallelujah. The devil wants to make it feel this way or seem this way because he wants to gain your soul. He wants your life in hell, my brothers and sisters. But Jesus wants to save you. He wants you to have life. Jesus wants you to have life, and he wants you to have abundant life, my brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. I've been listening to Mary Kay Baster of A Revelation of Hell, and some of us need to listen to her testimony, and really pay attention to the decision that other people have made that have led them to hell. Now, it's not the will of God that anyone will perish. Not the will of God that none of us will end up in hell. But we have decision to make, my brothers and sisters. And God's not going to take your freedom from you to making your own decision. That is your own freedom that God, your maker, has given you and I. The freedom to make choice. Freedom of choice. Some people say, why don't he just make the decision for me? Why do I have to make the decision? Why can he just not make it for me? It'll be so easy, they say. Hallelujah. But see, that has to do with us submitting our will to his will. When we do that, our struggle, most likely, it's not so hard anymore. It's not so difficult anymore. Hallelujah. The reason why it's so difficult is because we want things that are not of God. My brothers and sisters, of the flesh. And those are the things that are going to lead us into trouble. Troublemakers, my brothers and sisters. I'm trying to get her testimony for the later on hour on now. Hallelujah. But you see that everything down here is difficult. Not impossible. Shalom, Brother Miguel, but difficult. God has left in our hand the important decision to make. And it's up to you and up to me to make Jesus our priority, our relationship with him our priority, him being all in our lives. And that decision we need to make it every day. God's not going to make it for you because he gave you freedom of choice. And he wants you to make that choice every single day. And when you do make that choice, he helps you. He empowers you to be victorious in Christ. My brothers and sisters. But when you deviate, when you doubt, when you unbelieve your choice, that's when problem comes. Can you believe people over the years, millions or thousands of years, have unbelieved their choice, have doubted their choice, have changed their mind, as some people say, and led them in a way which they thought it was right, and ended up in hell. And that's what the book of Mary Kay Baster is about. The choices that people made them, led them to hell. And by listening to the testimony, it will help us meditate about our lives. Think about our life. Think about our choice. Think about our daily life. What decision do you want to make? Your choice has been given to you by God, your creator. And if you make your choice for him, his will, he will help you all the way through. And even people in the testimony that chose in the evil way, Jesus never stopped loving them and always tried helping them to get out of the way, get back right with him. But they kept going left. Every time you make the wrong choice, you're going left. And Jesus, with his love, is pulling you right. He doesn't want to lose you. And that is not his will that anyone will perish. He's very clear in his word. He wants to bring people to heaven. He wants to save their soul. He died for them on the cross. He died for you and I. He wants us to make the choice for him. And don't let anyone who really don't care for us tell us which way to go. Or don't let the circumstances, because some people say, if you understand what I'm going through, if you can understand, Brother Elvie, what I'm going through, then you understand why I'm making the choice. Don't you think that we all go through something hard and difficult? We all do. We all do. Still God is with us to help us and empower us to do his will. Make it clear for us that if we choose him, if we choose Jesus, if we choose his son, hallelujah, he's going to help us. He's going to raise us in the last days. He's going to bring us to heaven. My brother, my sister, hallelujah. Acts 20:35 has shown you all things, how the by laboring ye out to support the weak, to remember the word of the Lord Jesus, how he say it is more blessed to give than to receive. The apostle Paul had a heart for the Lord, for his work. And he labored knowing that he was not laboring in vain. He was doing whatever he's doing, he was doing it for God. Hallelujah. And always thinking that God gave him this labor to do. Hallelujah. He says to the Corinthians in 3:9, 1 Corinthians, for we labor together with God. Ye are God humbled, right? Ye are God building. It's all for the Lord. Hallelujah. He says in 1 Corinthians 4:2, and we labor working with our hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer. We suffer it. You can't take suffering from conquering something great. And God has called us to conquer something great in him, in Christ. So there has to be some suffering. But this, the suffering of this life cannot compare for the glory that awaits us, my brother and sister. And the Lord wanted to show me this. And he gave me this vision into heaven, into paradise, this week. I'm looking into a great mansion that is awaiting me. A redeemed that I know for a long time was there standing. This place, glorious, is paradise, where the glory of God, the golden, shining glory of God, cover the mansion. It's like the wall, the roof, nothing can stop his glory from going through and filling the whole place. You don't need no light bulbs. You don't need no light. You don't need no power in those mansions, because the glory of God enlightens everything so powerful that the sun doesn't have the power in the cloud. And that glory goes through your house, through your roof, and through every single room. And everything is completely lit up. Golden light going through the wall, going through the roof, into your house. And the Lord allowed me to see the house from two different ways. And I was gazing at it. I was steadily looking at it, just gazing at such a marvelous thing. And at that very moment, within seconds, in my spirit, he was letting me know. First, he allowed me to experience timing in between. And there was none. I don't know how to explain that in the spirit, there is no time left. You hear the prophet of the Lord speaking about these things. No man can explain it. Because Jesus said, no man knows the time, neither the Son, neither the angel. No one knows, only the Father. And I just know, and I can testify and tell you, that between here and there, there is no time left. None whatsoever. If I felt any time in the spirit, because the Lord has given me the sermon, and there was none. None whatsoever. None. There were years ago where I felt in the spirit there was some time left. I share with people in some of the video of maybe 10 minutes, maybe 3 minutes. Now there is none. None whatsoever of time between here and there. And I knew that at any moment, at any second, we're there. I just knew it in the spirit that no one of us can say, hey, hold on a minute, hold on a few minutes, hold on. We're almost. I think the word almost is too long to say we're almost there. At the door, as the word says, at the sound of the trumpet. There was a long sound of the trumpet. And when I experienced the rapture years ago, the trumpet was sounding. And the sounding was going, I could say maybe about a minute. Boo! It was just going on. And the people of God already disappeared. Were completely gone. Before the shofar finished sounding, everyone was already in heaven. Now explain that to me. Explain what something that it takes a few minutes or a few seconds to sound. The Bible said that at the last trumpet, within the twinkling of an eye, boom, we're gone. And I have experienced having, at the moment it sound, and I open my eyes, I'm already standing in heaven, in that glorious place. And I'm looking around. And it's all completely different than what we know here, because you see a lot of trees with dead leaves. Out there, none. Everything is alive. So, and everything is beautiful. And you move in the spirit in heaven. You're looking at your glorified body. And it's not like here, like, oh, I got to go up the stairs. Oh, by the time I end up going up the stairs, I'm going to retire. That's how we think down here. If we got to go to the third, fourth floor. I saw Jesus climbing upstairs up in heaven. And he went from the, he didn't even set feet on the first step. When he was up there already. And I said, oh, so that's how they climb stairs up in heaven. They don't go step by step like we do. They don't even set feet on the first step, and they're already up there in the last floor. It's like, oh, okay. In less than a second, he was up there. My Lord, my God. An angel appeared, right? I was there with Jesus. An angel appeared. He was letting me know the Lord will see you. And the angel appeared in front of me. The light appeared before him. Boom, and there was the angel. All within milliseconds. And Jesus appeared right after him. The angel bowed his head to Jesus. As he was giving the message that the Lord will see me. He was just finished saying the word when the Lord Jesus appeared. Boom. And he bowed his head to him and walked away with his hand bowed, his head bowed to him. He walked away, boom, and disappeared from him. But before he did, I saw the Lord telling him he may go because he knew he was addressing the King of Kings and Lord of Lords with such a great respect. My brothers and sisters, today I was reading the Bible with my children, one of their friends from school. They like to play a lot, and I tell them Sunday is God's day. They read in the Bible, Exodus 20. They said, wait a minute, is it Sunday or is it Saturday? I said, well, Saturday it is, but Sunday it is too. And it's because of the resurrection on Sunday morning. The Lord has spoken to me about this. Yes, Saturday is the day which the Bible is very clear. God rested on the seventh day. But Sunday, because of the resurrection and because of the day going to church, God expects people to seek him on Sunday. The Lord told me this. I wanted to hear from him about this because I had this question for many years. Heard many other things, but I wanted him to explain them to me. He said in his days to go to the house of God on Sunday. As we are gathered together here as a church in the presence of God, the gathering of the saints is what we're doing. My brothers and sisters, Bible said not to forsake in the gathering of the saints. It's important that we come together in the Lord because we're serving the Lord together as a body of Christ. Other people focus on building, but it's never been about building. We are the building. We are the house of God. This is the temple of the Holy Spirit. All three in one, my brother and sister. We're gathered together. My brothers and sisters, in that revelation, Jesus take me inside a building, and it was all dressed for the bride. All the dress was white. Just they look like the wedding dress we have down here, but much beautiful, long, and white. Thank you, Lord. When I look close to the dress for the wedding, some of the adorn had diamonds in it and gold. The gold you read in the Bible, transparent gold. The gold that is before the throne of Father. And everywhere I looked, the redeemed working with Jesus. Back then they were given the final touch to the dress. Because the wedding celebration is about to begin. Now this time, I believe I'm not allowed to look any more around heaven like the Lord used to bring me a lot. Because I remember one of the last times the Lord brought me closer to his throne, he would not allow me to look to the right. And that's because to the right he has shown me before the place where the gift of the church will be. Because he has shown me he took me to one of the warehouses, which I share here, and I saw the redeemed getting the presents for the church ready. The present for the bride was all wrapped, like in wrapping paper, like we use down here, similar. But of course, everything's going to be much greater. But it's similar to what we have down here. Or what we have down here is similar to what is in heaven. Because everything up there is much greater, much perfect. It's made by God. And so, everything was being prepared for the bride. Since I was shown the place where the wedding in front of the throne of the Lord are going to be in the wedding celebration, then when the Lord brought me this time to the throne, he blocked me from looking to the right. He would not allow me to. Because for some reason, I'm not allowed to look for your gifts. I'm not allowed to look, okay, to what the Lord has in store for you. I was telling my brother Tony this week, his mansion is close to mine. I was allowed to go into his mansion in heaven. In his kitchen, he had the stove and all that set are like metal, the one we have down here, in glass. But of course, it's heaven. Way better looking than what we have down here, for sure. Only the billionaire would wish to have something like it. Never breaking down and all that. For some reason, if you love to have certain things, God knows your heart, and he gives them to you. Okay? And I share with him what I saw, and it gives him so much joy every time I share it. Because that's waiting for him up in heaven. In my house, that's similar, too. Neighbors. We're neighbors. For some reason, we're neighbors. And God knew this before the foundation of the earth. In the last day, he had brought us together. And God knew us before the foundation of the earth. And he was the one who planned our meeting. A lot of people still think it's by coincidence. I just came about to listen to your program, Brother Ali. And I thought it was fun. And no, it was by God's plan. His plan. And when we come to heaven, all this is revealed. How he brought us together. The Lord talked to me about this back in 2011. Because we started the program in 2012. Of the people he was going to bring us together. Because I had a lot of questions. Lord, how is this going to come about? He said, don't worry, I'm going to do this. Trust me. He always told me several times to trust him. And now I understand that relationship is about trust. If we are in a relationship with someone, like the Lord especially, it has to be about trust. We need to trust the Lord that this is the last days and that he is about to bring us home. He says he's coming soon and that his reward is with him to give us according to what we have done. It's his promise in Revelation 22, my brother and sister. We need to trust him and his promise. He gave us sign for the end, nation against nation, rumors of war and word, and we see in all these things happening. We see many false prophets rising in the last days. I was having a conversation with him a few weeks about this. Lord, what about all these people on YouTube saying this and that? He reminded me of what his word says. Many false prophets will rise in the last days. So, Lord, I should not be listening to them. He said, that's a wise decision. We need to be careful, my brother and sister. It doesn't mean that everyone up there is false. It's that the more you're looking for prophecy, the more you hear the false. The devil will find a way to get it to you and mislead you, misguide you. In the testimony of Mary Kay Baxter, there's a preacher presented to Sister Mary Kay. And he was a preacher. And one thing he did was he preached against the rapture. And he died and ended up going to hell. I tell people I'm very careful with anyone that preaches against the rapture. Because Jesus told me in heaven one time with the Bible on his hand, the rapture is my message. It's mine. And he opened the Bible to me. And Jesus began to, like a preacher, go through the pages of the Bible right standing in front of me. He's looking at the Bible while he's talking to me and telling me that the rapture is his message. And he says to me, if you don't believe in the rapture, you're not coming home with me. And that's when I began to cry, and I said, "So I'm sorry, Lord." Because like many other, I began many years ago not to believe in the rapture anymore. Because I heard many teachers say that the rapture was not of God, was invented by men. And they began to give a lot of diabolic word against the rapture. And it's of the devil to come against the rapture, because it's in the word of God. Just in John 14, one of the verses Jesus read to me, that if I go, I will come again. So where I am, you will also be with me, he says. Did that sound to you that that's not the rapture? Yes. Because when you read about his second coming, he's coming to take a vengeance upon his enemy. Yes, he will gather the elect from the four corners of the earth, my brothers and sisters. But there are two. One is the 144,000, and other ones are the one being beheaded. And I didn't know this, but the Lord showed this to me. There are people who will wait for Jesus until his second return on the earth that God will protect. Father spoke to me about this one time, that those that were trusting him, he can protect. Even there will be all kinds of demons, the devil, death, hell, walking on the earth. If they trust in him, if they seek him, if they call upon him, he will protect them, he says. It's the first time I ever heard this. I never heard any pastor, any preacher tell me this, my brothers and sisters. And I always tell people, never look forward to staying in the Great Tribulation. Always tell people that. A sister came to me one time and visited me in my house here in North Carolina with her family, her father, her mother, her family. She said, "Brother Robbie, may we come and visit you?" I said, "Yes." Well, with my wife at a meeting, we did a meal, and we received them in the house. And they sat down with me. Said, "Brother Robbie, I'm sure you never heard this, but I got to share this with you. The Lord spoke to me about staying behind in the Great Tribulation. I know you say you don't believe about that your message is about going home in the rapture. But hear what I have to say, Brother Elvie. My family and I, the Lord has spoken to us that he had chosen us to stay in the Great Tribulation. And he has shown us very clear that he's going to protect us in the Great Tribulation. We have seen ourselves in our house where fallen demons in the daytime come to try to attack us. The Lord will have angels to protect us and keep us. And they will not harm us. They'll try any way." She says she's seen werewolf and beast trying to get to jump the fence. She has a fence around her house, an angelic protection around the house, inside and out. But when she looked, she said, "I seen werewolf, men that have turned into werewolf, many of them, many that have changed into beasts, Elvie. And they were trying to fight the angels that were around the house. But we were told to stay in communion and pray, as they were fighting them off. And this battle will go on every single day. They will go away down to their hidden place or wherever they go in the woods or when they turn back to human. But a time comes when they turn into beasts again and werewolf and other beasts," he says. "There are beasts I cannot describe unto you," she said, she saw. "And these people will turn into these beasts with the support of fallen angels. And then again, they try to attack our house. And as we pray and call upon the Lord, He sent his angel to protect us. An angel with sword under hands and shield and garments of fighting these demons, these beasts, these people off for hours to protect us from all these things. The Lord has shown it to me, she says, to my sister, to my father, even my mother. We all have seen the same thing. As the Lord says, we're staying behind to help other people. There are times when they turn back to human that we go out, we evangelize, and we return home with angelic protection. And again, this battle goes on every day, she says. Are these beasts, fallen angels, and people turning into beasts attacking our homes? When we heard you say this on the Lord's Hour, describing all these things that we've seen already, that we know, we could not believe that someone, God, has shown them the things that are coming. So clear as we have seen it. That's why we contacted you, Brother Ellie. Because it's so amazing how you can describe them on the Lord's Hour. He said, Brother Ellie, do you know what is the thing that is going to change people? This was right before the vaccine. Do you think that there's something they're going to make to have these people change this way? And I say, yes. Hallelujah. Yes. There is something the government is working to give these people. And she said, is that a pill? Yeah, it could be a pill. And there were pills also released. By seeing, yes. And after we spoke about all these things, comes COVID, comes by seeing. The Lord confirmed everything. I knew the plague was coming. There's a plague coming soon. And like many people, when I started talking about this plague in 2015, 2017, 17, 18, people started giving up in 2018. We had a large crowd listening to the Lord's Hour. But I can't talk about this plague that was coming. And in 2018, people started giving up listening to the Lord's Hour. And a lot of people waved their hands and walked away and said, this man, I think he's a full prophet. I'm not going to listen to him anymore. People started writing nasty messages to me, leaving really bad messages to me on Facebook, angry. Oh, you've been saying this for years. We have not seen it. And when I said in 2019, in the beginning, this plague, God showed me, is going to be all over the world quickly. Sister, write to me, how can you say this? This is America. If you come from a third world country, Elvis, you have no idea of the medical expert that we have in the United States. There's no way a virus can come and be all over our country, all over the world, Elvis. Why don't you just go back to the island where you came from? Because that's not possible in the United States, that this would happen. But I know the Lord, what the Lord has shown me, what God has spoken to me, my brothers and sisters. And at the end of 2019, November, it began in Wuhan, China. And in November, December, it was already in New York and California. January was spreading all over different states. In 2020, the Lord wanted to show me the second plague. There's a second plague coming. And I know some people already given up on the second plague. But this is the deadliest one. You know, you think that when you've been talking about the first one, COVID-19, and then you will think that people say, well, he talked about it before, so it happened. But now people started giving up on the second plague. But the second plague, it is very close, and I don't think it's years away now. I don't really think it is. In 2019, when God spoke to me that the plague was already here, God said, it's already among you, is what Father says. And I told people, that's when people even got angrier, because they said, you said that God told you it was already among us. Where? Where? In 2019. And it was on the earth in 2019. There's a lot of proof of that. So in 2020, he says to me, a second plague is coming, worse than COVID. Plague, he showed me. People will be dead before they fall off. Before they fall to the floor, their bodies fall to the floor, they will be dead. Millions are going to die. What COVID-19 cannot conquer, this plague coming up is the deadliest one. And a lot of people did not want to wear a mask like me because of COVID. Then the common plague, mask, you cannot go into the supermarket without a mask. And not a paper mask. These are going to be like your chemical mask. And they will have security at the door with chemical masks on their face and guns. And you will not be allowed into the supermarket. One of the reasons why it's going to be like this, because of so many people dead everywhere. There are going to be so many bodies dead on the earth here in the United States. The body are going to rot on their own in their own apartment, their own house. They will not have enough staff or people, worker, to go retrieve those bodies from their homes. Remember this. Remember this. Some places are going to stink because of those bodies. Some streets, some town, just you won't be able to walk or drive by because of the smell. It's going to be horrendous. My brother and sister of dead bodies. My son, Joshua, shared a dream with me today in our Bible study. He said he had a dream of what is coming. He said that there were dead bodies everywhere dead. You can look out the window and see dead body in the street. He said in his dream. He also saw the red cloud. And he was in school when he looked up to the cloud and they were red to the north. And he asked the school if he can call us, because he said, I need my father, my mother to come and get me at school, because I know the 3 days of darkness are about to begin. So he asked the school to let them call us, and he was calling us on the phone in his dream. Please come and pick me up from school. And then we said, why? Look to the north. The red cloud was there, the beginning of the 3 days of darkness. He says that when I went to pick him up and I was bringing him home, there were dead bodies everywhere. To him, it seems like the plague hit first and immediately followed with 3 days of darkness. But he said you can see dead bodies everywhere. He said, since we have talked about just coming into the house in the 3 days of darkness, that we need to be inside. Well, his friends also had the same dream. And he says that in his dream, he knew 3 days of darkness were about to begin. And he knew he needed to come running to our house and be with us. We're about half an hour away from his house. And he said that he knew he needed to come and be with us, our family. They just became friends last year, my son Levi and him. And God already giving him a dream of what is about to come. He is also sharing his dream with great details of the beast and things he saw, the transformation, my brothers and sisters. All this is so close. It's coming. It is coming. And a lot of people are seeing things far off, but this week when the Lord showed me paradise, and I was able to look into it, in those very seconds, the Lord put in my spirit that nothing is left in regard to timing, that we are closer than what we think. My brother and sister, oh, may God help us. We are closer, very close. Hallelujah. The time of the end is here. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That's where we are. That's what we need to be. And the Lord, my brothers and sisters, because we are safe in the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, know this, I say, brethren, the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither the corruption inherit incorruption. Nothing corrupted is going to heaven. And this body you and I in is corrupted by sin and so much more. But flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. So as we are repenting, God is making our soul, our spirit ready to go home. And this body is not going to enter. That's why we're going to get a glorified body. A body that can be in heaven and can come back to the earth with the Lord, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. He has all ready for you and I. In heaven, ready. The bodies are ready. The glorified body are ready for you and I. I've seen them. I've been given the blessing to see them. My brother and sister. And it's going to happen all quickly. Verse 51, behold, I'll show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, that means dying, but we shall all be changed. This is the will of God. That not necessarily we're all going to die, but we're all going to be changed. Shalom, Sister Tani. Nice to see you, Sister. We're going to be changed into a glorified body. My brother and sister, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound, that's a commandment, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Oh, my brother and sister, it is all here practically. It is all here. Whoever is not ready is not going home. But it doesn't mean that God has given up on you. You can still cry out to him and say, Lord, if the trumpet sounds today, tomorrow, tonight, Lord, help me to endure in these 7 years before your return. Give me the power, the willingness to die for you. We need to pray that we are willing to die at any moment for him. Because some people are going to die. Be beheaded. We were talking about the movie The Rapture, one of the 80-something year movie. The young lady, the grandmother, is praying for her in the movie. And when she's under the guillotine, that Obama ordered 36,000 of them ready to go soon while he was in office, and they moved them by train in the different state. She saw herself laying, looking up in a bed, tied to the bed, and when she looked, the guillotine was there, that sharp knife blade about to cut her head. All they had to do was release it. And they say, are you going to receive the mark in your right hand? Or you're going to die? And in the moment, because she took a little, she was thinking it, she was going to change her mind, but they had pressed it, and she got beheaded quickly. And it all because her grandmother had been praying for her. And God knew she would change her mind, but before she could, she got beheaded. Her head was all over the floor, rolling like a basketball over the floor. My brother and sister, the reality of all this is going to hit people very soon. This second plague, when it starts, the Lord showed me the other day, it's very, very, very close. Any day now, it's going to begin. And when it does, when it begins, my brother and sister, there's a brother that says, am I starting next year, the first quarter of next year? I said, you know, I don't want to put a date to anything anymore. That's not the way to go. That's not the way to walk and live, looking into time. But he said he had a dream from the Lord, he says. And in the first quarter of 2025, he says, this plague was already here. He didn't know when it began, but he said it was already here. I said, I don't know. I listened to that and I'm like, nope, I'm not going to believe in timing. And even if he's accurate in regard to timing, still we need to be trusting in the Lord. But he said something, that those are not trusting in the Lord, he saw, the plague got to them quickly. And they were dying off quickly. There were people that were thinking that at that very moment was the right time to repent. But there was still the plague was getting to them and dying off. If they were sincere, they got saved. If they were not, too late. No more chance of going back like people think. Look how many died with COVID. This plague is like 100 times worse than COVID. COVID attacked the respiratory system, the lungs. Plague is airborne. It will attack the lungs, but the heart and everything else gets killed quickly, gets destroyed quickly. It's like you cannot breathe anymore. I seen a woman who got this plague as I was standing in front of her, about 20 feet away from her, looking at her, because the Lord wanted me to see it. And she breathed this thing in, and she was trying to react to it. But this plague went in there, this virus, I don't know what to call it anymore. Some say it's a virus. It's a deadly virus. And it went into her body, as the Lord was showing me, and it's like she wanted to fight it off. And it just got her lungs, it got her heart, everything. Once she was dead, before her body fell to the floor, she just stopped breathing. Her eyes were still open. Her eyes were still open. When I saw her body go down to the floor, you know, like if you're going to drop to the floor, you use your hand to kind of cushion the blow or the fall. Her hand didn't even move. In the same position as the virus went in, she had a purse in one side of her hand. And with the hand where she had the purse, she was like kind of holding the purse. And the two hands were in the same position. She fell to the ground. And she didn't even got to move her hand at all. At all. The officer that saw this, there was an officer across the street from where she was, looked at this, and she immediately, this officer was telling people, do not come close to her. We don't know what it is. But people were dropping dead to the floor from left to right in front of us. And of course, you can't touch the body. I knew it was airborne. The officer took something from his pocket, put it on his nose, a blanket or something, and he was trying to cover his face from not, you know, breathing what was hitting these people. And it was terrible. Terrible. People just dropping dead everywhere. And now there's several confirmations of people having the same experience since Revelation. And I saw it in New York. I saw it in New Jersey also. And last time I saw it here in North Carolina. This thing is going to be all over the world, again, like COVID. Not a single country is going to escape out of this. Paradise is waiting for us. The Lord is waiting for us, his people. He's not going to leave us here to perish. It's not for the righteous to perish. It's very clear in his word. When Abraham prayed, You know, where he let the righteous perish with the wicked. He says, no. The Lord confirming to Abraham that he's not going to do this. He's not going to let the righteous perish with the wicked. He's not going to do that with you and I. As long as we are repenting and seeking the Lord with all of our heart, not leaning on our own understanding, we need to put him first. You may have people in your family making fun of the gospel, making fun of being Christians, and making fun of what we're saying. Let him who has an ear listen to what the Lord is saying tonight. This is a warning going out. It's your life. Do not trust your life in man. Trust your life in Jesus. Put it in his hand. In his hand, your life is secure. It's protected. He promised you and I that he will be with us. For everything that you and I will go through, he will be with us. This is one of the worst times in humanity. And this is the time when the Lord wants you to put your life in his hand and trust him only. There might be people in your family telling you not to pray, not to fast, not to repent. Don't listen to them. Listen to what the Lord says in his word. They might call you fanatic. They might call you crazy. They may mock you, make fun of you. Don't listen to them. Because in the end time, what it's going to take is us even be willing to give our life for the Lord. That's what he told his disciples. They walked with him for 3.5 years. They didn't realize how serious this is until the Lord left, and they began in the book of Acts. When you read about the disciple, Stephen had just received the Lord, and he got stoned for his faith. And the rest of the disciples were being persecuted and killed for their faith. My brother and sister, that time is here. And that time for people to perish is here. And this earth, if we were in the earth walking like everybody else without faith and without hope, maybe the same thing will happen to us. But our hope is in the Lord, the creator of heaven and earth. He got us in his hand. We need to stay close with him now, more than ever, my brother and sister, because he said he will bring us through this most difficult time. My brother and sister, Paul says this to the brothers and sisters, for this corruptible, talking about this body, must put on incorruption. Hallelujah. The incorruption is the eternal body. Why does it need to be put on? Because what's coming on this earth is so destructive, it's so evil, that this body cannot stand it. Cannot. They're going to release chemical weapons all over this country. God has shown it to me. Russia and China and these countries, when they go to war with this country. And it's going to be so wicked and so evil that no one can survive without the Lord's help. It will damage our internal organs right away. I've seen this. Terrible in the days to come. There's no other way for us to live without the Lord. For this corruptible, talking about this body, that anything can corrupt it, must put in corruption. It has to be this way. There's no other way. And this mortal, still talking about this body that dies, must put in mortality. See, the body we're getting is incorruptible and has immortality in it. Cannot be corrupted by anything on this earth. It cannot be killed by anything on this earth. And the Lord is preparing us for us. In our obedience, in our repentance for him, every day he's preparing us for our immortal body. To receive our body. That's what the 3 days of darkness that my son saw, that his friends saw, that I've seen many times, and many thousands of people have seen also. In this country and around the world from the Lord. That's why this we need to put immortality very, very soon. If we don't put immortality, the immortal body, our glorified body, if we don't put it on very soon when he has it available for us to put it on during the 3 days of darkness, we will not make it through. It's impossible. Because they're getting ready to release destructive weapons like humanity cannot even imagine. The elites are working 24 hours, 7 days a week, getting themselves ready for the depopulation. And only God can stop them. But they want to already begin the 7-year great destruction, great tribulation, as the Lord is called. It's going to be terrible for humanity. I was meditating on this. I saw people who stay in the great tribulation, who knew God, but they were lukewarm when the trumpet sounds, so they ended up staying. Chemical weapons had hit their body. They had not aimed for years and months, and they were still alive. God is going to do something to their body that they will not die. Like when people go to hell, they see themselves in a regular body. They are tormented every day by the fire, by the demon, but they cannot die. This is the same way people are in the Great Tribulation. Chemical weapon that will cure a human right now instantly is going through their body every second. They're breathing it into their body. The water is contaminated. The food, everything is. So some people have not aimed for years, nothing. Because every time a man told me this in the Great Tribulation, I said, why didn't you eat? Why didn't you drink that water? He says, Elvie, every time I drink that water, it causes me greater pain in my stomach. This water is worse than acid. I said, oh, wow. Yes, the chemical that is in that water is deadly. And this is what all is being made ready for. If people don't get right with God right now, they have no idea of the torments that will await them in the days to come. This virus that is about to be released, and the World War III that is about to begin, and the worst stage. Some people said it already started last year. But they're going to go to the worst stage. Supposedly Ukraine was attacking Russia this past week. I said that is a game that they're playing. They're inviting Ukraine. They're allowing Ukraine. President Putin pull all the drones into Russia. Pull them off the air. Put all the plane off the air. Pull all the tanks out of those areas. And left it open for Ukraine to come in there. People should have questioned that and say, why are they doing that? Shouldn't they be defending their own country? Why are they pulling the soldier away? It's a game to them. Because they're all part of the elite. The people in Russia are being tricked as the people in Ukraine were tricked. Millions have died. To the elite, they don't care who died. As long as they get the plan through. My brother and sister. Nation will rise against nation, Jesus said. And they're rising against each other. But it's the sole purpose of them of establishing their own Antichrist kingdom on the earth. Russia, China, United States, all the countries are in it for the Antichrist. People think they're against each other. They're against the people that believe in God. They're against the Christians. But if the Lord takes you in and allow you to see them having dinner together and laughing and drinking wine and the blood of the innocent, then you get the picture and you say, oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. In the anointing of the Antichrist last year, all these leaders that supposedly are fighting against each other were sitting at the table drinking the blood of the innocent and celebrating. The Lord has shown it to people. People are like, how can this be? Oh, the lack of knowledge that God talks about in his word. My people perish for lack of knowledge. My brothers and sisters, they got the plan, but our God has the mightiest plan. And that's why God told us to only trust Him. Trust in the Lord and do not lean on your own understanding. My brothers and sisters, this earth is up for destruction. The devil has claimed everything down here. The Lord took me in the spirit a couple of weeks back. And the devil was walking in this country, looking to the left or the right. I was walking behind him. He cannot see me, but I can see him. And I can hear his thinking. The Lord allowed me to hear his thinking. And he was saying to himself, I have conquered this mightier nation and every single corner of it. What came to my mind as I could hear the devil thinking and walking is that when God asked Satan, where did that come from? For going to and fro on the earth, he says, in the book of Job. From going to and fro on the earth, he says to God, have you not considered my servant Job? My brothers and sisters, it was the same thing that he said back to God that I saw him thinking about and looking to the stock market, the government. He is running all this. He's making the decision with the politicians. They don't make no decision unless they go on the computer and speak with them through CERN. Who's their leader? Satan. Every decision they make in the White House and in the different country is all being given by Satan. What to do, what to decide. The war in Ukraine is all being led by Satan. On both sides, the side of Ukraine, the side of America, and the side of Russia. All Satan is behind them, my brother and sister. But a lot of people doubt that. All you have to do is go into fasting and prayer and ask the Lord to show you. Lord, show me. Because on the end, by the middle or the third part of the Great Tribulation, Russia, China, United States, and then are already the best body. After all their people are eliminated practically, gone, anti-countries. Now they're together as best friends to go against Israel. The final battle is the one, the Armageddon, where they go to the mountain of Israel to fight the Lord who is protecting Israel. Michael right now is right there with his angel. There was someone on YouTube the other day, a Jewish man, whom the Lord opened his eyes and saw the great angel Michael walking the street of Jerusalem with his army. They all have sword and shield on them. Right now, this was a couple of weeks back, he put it on YouTube. I was shocked because you felt it. My brothers and sisters, they're right there, and the devil is not pleased that Michael is there. That's why Israel is having this victory the way they're having against Hamas, against Iran, against all those people. Michael and his angels are there fighting for them, my brother and sister. And God has allowed people to see it so they can share with people. He's there. As his word said in Daniel 12, his word is the truth. That's why we should only read the Bible and believe the Bible only. We're listening to all these bad news, wicked news, false news, misleading the people. Oh, we got to win this war in Ukraine. Lies. It's all lies. It's never what the people want. It's what they want. It's whom they want to establish. Their own king. And their own king they want to establish is the Messiah, the Antichrist, the man of sin, the son of perdition. That's the one that they're working hard to put in the throne. And they already know who he is. The Lord took me in the spirit the other day. And the Antichrist and then had to cut a full of blood of the innocent, drinking, celebrating. How they are conquering the nations and misleading people. The devil celebrates as he's misleading people through the news, because the Lord showed me all the news is of the devil right now. Nothing coming through the news is of God. It's all lies and it's all deceived. Jesus began his Bible study in Matthew 24 with his disciples. Be ye not deceived. Don't let them deceive you. Well, there's a lot of people letting them deceive them through the news. They think that the news is godly when God is in none of them. My brothers and sisters, hallelujah. None of this evil news is of God. Take heed that no man deceive you, because man is what the devil is using to deceive people like never before. My brother and sister, in the times that Noah, they corrupted all flesh. The Bible doesn't explain to you how they did it, but by seeing the virus of one way for them to do it. One way is using their own blood to contaminate the blood of human. See, one way that the Bible teaches us is that sometimes people don't consider, but listen carefully, one way that they've been doing it, that they did it and they're doing it today. The angels marrying the women, the human. And by doing this, you get two blood together. The child is not normal anymore. It's a wicked, evil child. Now, can that child be saved? It takes a lot of prayer for the Lord to remove the fallen angel blood out of the child, so that part of the child can be saved. My brother and sister, it takes a lot of prayer, a lot. But see, then they go, they are different type of fallen angel, different group, different type. And they take the blood out of each of the type, and then they mix it with the human to make the human blood even more corruptive. All flesh are corrupted away before the Lord, Genesis says. They made sure birds, deer, wild hog, wild bird, whale, shark, alligator, all get the COVID vaccine. They made sure they get all the COVID vaccine and the nanotechnology on their body. Every single dog in the world, and cat and bird, are getting the nanotechnology on their body. You take them to the vets. You talk to the vet now. Oh, no, we got a new one now. Well, the RFID, they already have the RFID. They got something supposedly better, more destructive to the DNA of the animal. All flesh. I said, looking at the program online of wild animals, how these people are going around the world, mountain, hill, valleys, everywhere, injecting the animal and giving them this and that. All flesh are being corrupted before the Lord. Whale, shark. They already have found in shark COVID-19, in whale COVID-19. My brother and sister, they want to make sure every fish, salmon, tilapia, everything people have COVID-19. To attack people's health through the seafood, cow, chicken, everything, turkey, everything. They want to attack people's health, the water, want to make sure the mountain, the water has COVID-19. No matter how much you filter, they want to get it to your body. My brother and sister, people are being attacked by the air. They got planes dropping chemical from the air. And they're giving people clones meat for over 40 years. And they want to make sure every single human is fully contaminated. Corrupt all flesh is what they want. And they're heading there, my brothers and sisters, like a loaded train from every direction, attacking humanity. My brothers, that's just why we need to be in repentance. You go back to the olden age, 4,000 or 5,000 years ago, Christians didn't need to be in so much repentance like we have to. They worship God here. They walk under the presence of God here in the mountain. Samuel, David, and them. There was not a worry that God was not with them in regard to that presence and anointing, and it was there always. So why is it so hard for you and I to be in the presence of the Lord as we want to? The contamination is one. My brother and sister, I share with people that the Lord told me not to eat meat. My first month of not eating meat, I felt the presence of the Lord so strong with me right after that first month and on. And strong and strong and strong. And I said, I love this. I love this. And so many other things he was leading me to stay away from, I shared with people. And I know the Bible said, do not judge man because of me and that. No, it's not about judging people. If you eat it, I'm not judging you. It's that God says, I will show you a better way. And I listen to him. And I tell you, but as all flesh are being corrupted, people are now are saying, where is God? How come I don't feel him anymore? As some of the pastors has been vaccinated. They lost his presence. They lost his anointing. And there were pastors on Facebook saying, before we got the COVID-19, we felt the presence of the Lord and the anointing is gone. It's gone. Sister said the church she used to go to in Texas had a tremendous presence of the Lord, a small group of people. The pastor, the deacons, the elder went and got the vaccine, and the presence of the Lord is no more there. Go ahead and explain that to the people. Explain that to the people. I began to tell people this before they got it here on the Lord's Hour. Oh, he's crazy. He doesn't know what he's talking about. A pastor told me on the phone, when I get the COVID by seeing Elvie, I'm going to go and evangelize and win the people for God. Now his ministry is practically down on the floor after he got it. And the Lord showed me he's going to turn into a beast in the Great Tribulation. He's staying behind. My brother, God would not be mocked. If God uses one of us to alert us, we need to listen. My brother and sister, they have lost the presence of the Lord in their lives. A preacher says, please pray for me. Pray that I'll go back to after he got the vaccine. Oh, my Lord. Oh, my God. He wants me to pray that he'll get the presence back after he went and got the vaccine and lost it. The day he went and got vaccinated for trying to be smarter than us. He's asking me to please pray that he gets it back. Oh, my Lord. This is not easy. I tell him this is not about me. That we need to listen to the Lord. He told his disciples, stay in Jerusalem until you receive the power from above that you heard from me, he says. You heard it. Obey. Listen. And they stayed there. They didn't went anywhere until they received the power from above. And then they can be effective Christians for the Lord. This is how we're going to be affected in the kingdom. By being obedient. Which to the Lord is better than sacrifice. My brother and sister, if you move from God, where God wants you to be, you're going to lose even maybe your salvation. Which is so dangerous. When this new virus hit, God has positioned us in place where he said we will be protected by him. When this new virus hit, oh my Lord, oh my God, people from left to right will be losing their lives. My brother and sister, I think about the vaccinated whose soul has been removed from their body. When this new virus hit, If their body dropped dead to the floor, how are they going to come out down from down there? They already wants to come out. I see many of them desperate. They want to get back to the body. Oh, my Lord, oh, my God, the mess. The mess. If only people can see. If they will only ask God to take them down there and see the vaccinated. See how they feel about it, what they thinking. The first thing they'll tell you, my brother will be saying, is true. We were deceived by our government. But you may have to experience that if you don't believe. If you think, oh, he's crazy. What he's talking about, I don't believe what he's saying. Go ahead and take it in prayer with the Lord. Go ahead. Don't be a stranger. Don't be afraid. Take it with the Lord. Let him reveal it to you. Because some people say, you're only giving us the basis. There's more to that, brother. Oh, yeah. I'm trying to convey a message to you that you need to be seeking the Lord and trusting the Lord only, because this is going to get worse very, very soon. Before we go home, there's a few things we're going to see. Some people say, we may never see anything else. That will be great. That will be great. Some of us need to see a little bit more. My brother and sister, if you have not heard Sister Mary Kay Bassett's testimony, I want you to take an hour and listen to what the Lord revealed to her, because it's going to help you understand that this is not what a lot of people are saying. It's what God says in his word and what it is. Oh, my Lord, listen. Thank you, Lord.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're about to hear the most dynamic testimony ever given. This is a divine revelation of hell that the Lord gave to Mary Catherine Baxter. The Lord took her out of her body on 40 consecutive nights and walked throughout the length and the breadth of hell and talked with many people. She saw the size and the shape of hell. She experienced the pain and horror of hell. I'm sure that you will never be the same after listening to these messages. And now, I am happy to present to you Mary Catherine Baxter for her testimony.
I thank God for this opportunity to put on tape my book, The Divine Revelation of Hell, which was given unto me by the Holy Ghost and inspired by Jesus Christ of Nazareth. The Lord showed me hell. My friends, I give God honor and glory, and I pray that these tapes may go around the world to set the captive free. The Lord showed me the degrees, the levels, and the torments of hell. He also showed me revelations about the beast, parts of heaven, and what happens to babies when they die. He also revealed to me what happens to the servants of God who did not obey their calling. He brought the word alive to me so that I may present it to you in the revelations and depths of the Holy Ghost. These things that you're about to hear are true. These things are of God to set the captive free and to bring people out of darkness into light. My friend, if you could see the souls that are burning in flames of hell daily, minute after minute, hour after hour, you would cry out against hell and sin. In the Bible, in Revelations 20:10-15 says, hell is a lake of fire. In Luke chapter 16:22-24 says that hell is a place of torment. Mark 9:43 says that hell is a place where lost souls never die and the fire is not quenched. I could not imagine the reality of hell until God took me down there. My friend, I walked with the Lord Jesus Christ into hell. In Matthew 25:30 also talks about hell. Revelations 14:10 says that hell is a place where sinners and unbelievers drink of the wine of God's wrath. Revelations 14:11 says that it is a place where the smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever. There is a God in heaven who created all things. He created you and every person who ever lived. He is a holy God, a God of love, righteousness, and justice. He is also a God of wrath, taking vengeance upon every sin and sinner. God cannot tolerate sin. God now commands every person to truly repent of their sins and believe on His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, as their Savior and Lord. Jesus came down from heaven, born of a Virgin Mary, lived a holy life, and died on the cross of Calvary, shedding His precious blood as an atonement for our salvation. Jesus Christ is the only way to eternal life. I am saying these things for those who are listening to this tape who are not born again. My friend, we must reconcile ourselves unto God. We must die to what man thinks, and we must be true children of the Lord. The Lord took my spirit out of my body and translated me into hell with Him. I walked with Jesus through the things I'm about to share with you. I was in my home in Michigan praying, and the Spirit of the Lord fell upon me. I knew that God was going to reveal things of deep truth unto me. In the beginning of my calling several years before, God had appeared to me and spoken in a brilliant silver light. At this time, it was about 2:00 in the morning, and a brilliant light appeared at the foot of my bed. And as the light cleared up, there stood the Lord Jesus Christ in a human form. He was about 6'3" or 6'4", with very broad shoulders, and His eyes was like looking into rivers of eternity. He manifested Himself to me in this way. He reached out His hand from the center of the light and said, "Come, come with me." And as He did this, immediately my spirit came out of my body, but my body was lying upon the bed. I stood by the Lord, and I looked at my body was laying by my husband on the bed as if it was asleep. Jesus said, "Fear not, for you shall go with me down into the depths of hell, and you shall give this report unto the world." Jesus was with me during this journey, and as we walked and talked through hell, went through hell together, I asked Him many questions. He said to me, "Come, my daughter." And when He spoke to me, the top of my bedroom seemed to roll back, and I went with Jesus through the roof of my home. I looked back at my family, and He said, "Fear not, they shall be safe." For all around my home were many angels watching over my children and husband. Jesus said, "I say unto the people, hear and live unto me, and fear not man, but fear God. For I alone, the Lord, can cast your soul into hell, not Satan. Believe this report, saith the Lord, for these things are faithful and true. For the powers of darkness are real, and the judgments are true. I am the door, saith Jesus. No man can come into the Father but by me. Hear the words of this prophecy, for it is the Spirit of the Lord. He says, I am love, I will forgive. I, the Lord Jesus, shall take my child into hell by my spirit and will show her in detail the parts of hell I want the world to know. I will appear to her many times and take her into hell. I will take her spirit out of her body by my power, and we shall go into hell for the writing of these tapes and books. It shall go around the world and bring many to Christ." Jesus said, "Behold, my child, and hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying unto the churches." We went high into the heavens, and I turned and looked at Jesus. He was full of glory and power, and such peace flowed from Him. At times the Lord appeared in a human form, sometimes in a spiritual form. This time He had a long white robe on and a golden belt, and He had a beard and a mustache, and His hair was cut right below His ears. And the power and the love that flowed from Jesus Christ, I have never seen it in earth. We began to go high into the sky, and I could see the earth below. And out of the earth came types of tornadoes, or funnels-like. And I asked Jesus, "What are these?" Jesus said, "These are gateways into hell." And I knew within me that these could not be seen with a natural eye, but with the eyes of the Spirit. I remember hearing people say when they died, they went down a dark tunnel. And I knew this was what they were talking about. We began to descend down one of these gateways into hell. Friends, there was a deep darkness all around, and a smell so horrible that it was hard to breathe. All along the sides of this tunnel were forms of all sorts embedded into the walls and a gray mesh in front of them. They could move out but would be still attached to the walls were demon powers behind this gray mesh. A horrible smell and terrible screams came from the inside of this tunnel. My friends, if Jesus Christ had not been with me, I would not be here today to share with you this revelation of hell. These evil spirits seemed to be ready to be spewed upon the earth. Evil laughter rang out and screams of death and an odor so horrible that I could hardly breathe. Yes, I had all my senses, and I was in a spirit form. Truly, the Lord thy God has all power of heaven and earth. My friends, this is not pretty what you're going to hear. Screams so sad filled the air as we came near the base of the tunnel. Piercing cries and screams were coming up the dark tunnel to meet us. I could hear cries of all sorts filling the air. I could feel fear, death, and horror all around, and the smell of decaying flesh was everywhere. Never on earth had I felt such evil or known there were such cries of the dead. There seemed to be a force of evil winds and a small suction force ahead of us. Light and dark shadows flashed in the darkness. I also saw large snakes moving up ahead in the muck of the earth. Screams and cries of regret were echoing up through this tunnel. Hell, Jesus said, lies in the center of the earth. Hell is in a bodily form. Where God has a body of believers, hell has a body of unbelievers. Hell was not created for man. It was created for the devil and his angels. Jesus said again, we're about to enter the left leg of hell. Ahead is such sorrow, sadness, and horror. Forms of evil and souls of many are ahead of us, my child. I will grant you strength and protection as we go through hell. Much of the things you're about to see will save many, many people from coming here. This is real. Jesus said, this is your life if you choose it. And Jesus said, fear not, for I shall be with you at all times, for I will never leave you nor forsake you. My word says that in the last days the mysteries of God shall be revealed. And this is a hidden mystery revealed unto the world. We walked on. Hands seemed to reach out at us from the darkness, and I stood very close to Christ. We stopped from the tunnel into the left leg of hell. Jesus was a bright light, brighter than the sun at times, and the form of a man was inside that light. Jesus says, the Father has spoken. Come, we must obey. Jesus said, you have all your senses in hell that you died with. Fear was on every side, and untold danger was everywhere. Each step I took was horrible. And we walked on to the first pit. My brothers and sisters, as far as I could see, miles and miles into the left leg of hell were pits of fire dug into the earth. These pits were about 2.5 feet deep and 3 feet across, and red-hot brimstone was embedded inside these pits. My friend, I pray that the Spirit of God touches your heart as you hear this, and you'll never be the same, and that you'll never forget that there are people in hell today that used to be alive and walking on this earth. Please, I beg you, if you're a sinner, repent. Come unto Jesus and be saved. We walked up to the first pit, and I heard a cry from the center of this pit saying, Jesus, have mercy on my soul. With horror, I recognized it was the voice of a woman. The burning flesh hung by shreds all over her form as she stood there. Here, people, was a lost soul that had died and went to hell. She was a skeleton with a dirty mist inside that was her eternal soul. All over her body hung parts of flesh that was full of decay and dead gray in color. The fire would start at her feet in small flames and go up all over her body. There seemed to be a constant burning of her body. At times the flames were like embers, and she was reaching out to Jesus. I looked at Jesus, and he had such compassion and sadness in his face. The burning flesh hung by shreds, and her color was a dead gray. There was no hair upon her skull. Where the eyes had been were empty sockets. Yet, my friend, that soul had all its senses that she had died with. Cries and moans of regret came from this soul like you have never heard. Jesus said, "My child, you are here with me to let the world know that sin is dead and hell is real." I looked at the woman again, and I saw worms crawling out of parts of her skeleton form, and the fire did not burn them. And I thought of the Word of God where it says that the fire would not burn the worms. Jesus said she knows they are there, and she feels them within herself. "Oh, God, have mercy," I cried. As the fire reached its peak, the horrible burning would start over again, and I watched in horror. Great cries, deep sobs shook the form of the soul as she cried out, "Lost, no way out, forever lost in hell." "Oh, my Lord Jesus," I screamed, "how horrible to be in hell, for as far as my eyes could see were thousands burned in hellfire. Their soul could not float outside the rib cage or above the head or hip area. It seemed to be encaged inside of their skeleton form. But yet they could talk and they could move, and they knew everything going on about them. In Luke, in the Bible, it talks about the rich man in Lazarus, how the rich man could speak out of hell, how he could see out of hell. And yet, my friend, the world goes on, and many are dying and going to hell today. We walked on the path to the next pit. The pathway twisted in and out as far as I could see. Burning hands reached out to Jesus, and souls began to cry out to him for mercy. We came to another pit and stopped, and when they spoke, I knew if it was a man or woman. A man's voice cried, "Oh, my God, have mercy on me." Great wailing sobs came from this man. "I'm so sorry, Jesus, forgive me. Take me out of here. I have been in this place of torment for years. I beg you, let me out." Great sobs shook his frame, and he was the same as the woman looked, how sad. "I beg of you," he cried, "let me out." Again, he cried. Jesus, too, was crying. He looked up and said, my Father, have mercy." And as he did, my friends, the fire seemed to die down some. The man seemed for a few minutes to have flesh on him, and it melted into fire. His cries were so sad that his whole body shook. "Oh, Jesus, have not I suffered enough for my sins? I have been here for 40 years. Jesus said, "It is written, the just shall live by faith. All mockers and unbelievers shall have their part in the lake of fire." You would not believe the truth. Many times my people were sent to you to show you the way, but you would not listen. You laughed and refused the gospel. You mocked the Lord and would not repent of your sins. My Father gave you chance after chance to serve him, yet you would not. My life was given for you on the cross, but you would not repent of your sins and live unto God. My blood was shed for your sins, that you might be saved from this horrible place. "If only you had listened," said Jesus. Jesus wept. "I know, Lord, I know," the man cried. "But I repent now, Lord." Jesus said, "Too late, too late. The judgment has been set." The man cried, "Oh, Lord, some of my people are coming here. They also have sinned against you and will not repent. Please, Lord, let me go tell the ones who are yet alive on the earth to repent of their sins and not come to this place of torment." Jesus said, "They have my chosen ones, the preachers, the teachers, the elders, and the prophets, the ministers of the gospel to tell them, and many other ways." At this, the man got angry and began to curse, and evil blaspheme words come from him. In horror, I looked at him, and as I did, flames began to rise up to his chest, and dead gray and decaying flesh began to burn and fall off. There was no life or blood in him. Death was all around. I could see the skeleton, like a hand inside a glove. And inside the shell of a man was a soul. And this was a dirty white mist that filled the inside of his skeleton. I screamed, "Oh, my Jesus, how horrible." Jesus said, "Hell is real and the judgment of God is real. I love them, but this is only the beginning of horrors I have to show you. There is more. Come and follow me." We came to a next pit, and in this pit was a very small frame of a person. And for some reason, I knew her age. I knew she was about 80 years old, and I knew it was a woman. I don't know how I knew her age, but I did. She seemed to have a type of skin on her bones, and it was constantly being removed by flames. And somehow I knew that a lake of fire flowed through here at times. For all was burnt and cracked and dry everywhere I looked, except where the pits of fire were. As I watched the fire begin to burn, her inside and outside, and I wanted to pull her out of the fire and scream that Jesus would restore her. Oh, God, how horrible, I cried. I don't know if I can go on, for the horrors are beyond belief. These torments existed as far as I could see. Never before had I heard hell preached like this, never before. And I thought within myself that the world would only know how real hell is. They would never want anyone to come here. Her cries were so sad. She put her bony hands together as if in prayer. And Jesus knew my thoughts. He said, my child, when people are sent here, they have the same feelings and thoughts as when they were on earth. They remember all their families and friends, and all the time they had a chance to serve me but would not. It is always with them. I looked at the old woman again, and this time I noticed that she had only one leg, and there seemed to be holes drilled in her hip bones. My Lord Jesus, I cried, what is this? He said, while on earth, she had cancer and was in much pain. Surgery was done and her leg was removed. She began to blame God and say God did this to her. She began to grow very bitter and angry towards the Lord. My child, she backslid and she would not turn back unto the Lord. And when she died, she came here. The old woman began to cry out to Jesus and she said, my Lord Jesus, please forgive me. If only I'd believed while I was on earth. Great sobs, she cried out to Jesus. If only I had believed and repented before it was too late. Oh, my God, help me. I am forever in pain and torment. I cannot die. I cannot rest. Oh, my God, my soul is truly in torment. Jesus said again to her, and he always answered him with his word, you were told to depart from evil, do good, seek peace, and pursue it. You would not forgive others or believe and repent. You had chance after chance. You let bitterness, envy, and strife grow in your heart and would not repent and give it to me nor ask me to take it from you. Sadness was all over Jesus' face as we walked away, leaving the pitiful old soul burning in fire. We came to another pit, and in it, my friends, was a woman as if clawing the sides of this pit. She was bent over clawing. She was in the same state as the others, in a skeleton form, and fire engulfing her. And she seemed frantic to dig her way out of this pit of fire, but she could not. My friend, where her eyes had been were empty sockets, and where her nose was supposed to be was nothing but flames engulfed her. A small fire was burning around her feet and would come up all about her body as she was kneeling and clawing the sides of this pit. We watched as she finally seemed to get to the top of the pit with her feet, and I thought she was going to get out, when a large demon with large wings, which were seen to be broken at the top, shoved her back into the pit. I watched in horror as she fell back into the flames, screaming for mercy. I cried, oh, Lord Jesus, why is she here? My child, the judgment has been set. God has spoken. Even as a child, I called her to repent and serve me. When she was 16 years old, I manifested myself to her and I said, I love you. Give your life unto me and follow me. I will train you and teach you my ways. I've called you for a purpose. Fear not. Walk with me. Be gentle, be kind, be forgiving, and understand the will of the Lord. For years, my child, I called and dealt with her, but she hardened her heart and rejected my sweet spirit. The woman said to Jesus, my soul is truly in torment. There is no way out. Lord, I wanted riches, fame, and fortune instead of you, and I got it. I turned my whole life and heart and soul over to the devil, and Lord God, I rejected you. I knew the tenderness of the drawing of your spirit, but Lord Jesus, I rejected you. And this is my end, and this is my torment, day and night. Oh, Lord, although you continued to draw me, I thought I still had tomorrow or the next day. I thought I could serve the devil and the world and repent on my deathbed. But, oh, my God, how wrong I was. One day I was killed and my soul ended up here. Oh, how pitiful was to hear the cries of this woman unto the Lord Jesus. And I thought of how rebellious many of us are. Oh, my God, have mercy, I cried. Such deep sorrow filled my soul as we walked on, and I walked beside Jesus. From pit to pit we went, talking to the souls in hell. Sin and death and corrupt was all around. There are many degrees, many torments, and many chambers in hell, Jesus said. Remember to tell the people of the earth, all of you that hear this tape or read the book on hell, that hell is real. Millions are in hell, and many more are coming. Fire and death are all around. And on the great judgment day, death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire that will be the second death. I looked into the eyes of Jesus. Such tenderness and mercy came from his eyes. It was so sad to see the suffering of these souls that he gave his life on Calvary for, that if they would only believe the gospel and be saved from this place. I saw the love he had for all these lost souls in hell. I saw the love that he had for me, and he spoke so softly. My child, listen to me. Our Father gave every one of us a will, a choice to serve him or Satan. God did not make hell for his people. Hell is for Satan, and Satan deceives men into following him. People must choose whom they will serve. My child, Jesus said, remember my words in the days ahead as I show you hell. Behold what I say. I have all power in heaven and earth and in between. There will be times that it will seem if I've left you, but I have not. At times we will be seen by evil forces and lost souls. At other times we will not be seen. There are things that I must allow you to go through and see that I've not revealed to anyone else upon this earth. You were chosen for this purpose. I pray, people, that you'll be open to the truth and that you will be set free. And on that great and final day when the books are open, that you will not be able to point a finger at me and say, I did not warn you of hell and eternal flames. People, as we walked on through hell, demon spirits of all sizes and all sorts were going by and talking. Jesus allowed me to hear some conversations of the demons. A demon was giving orders to a smaller ones ahead of us, and Jesus said, listen. He said, I want you to hear what they are saying so that you can warn the world about these evil forces, and that in my name, in the name of Jesus Christ, Satan has to flee. Here was what the demon was telling the smaller ones. He said, go to the smaller imps and devils, do many evil things, cause problems in home, and do much evil. You shall have rewards when you finish. Jesus said, remember that in my name you can cast these things out. And again I heard the larger demon tell the smaller ones. He said, be aware of those that know Jesus and have the power to cast you out. He said, torment those on earth that do not know the Lord Jesus. Go to their families and their loved ones. And he said, I have many other demons that's already went ahead of you to war against these. He said, we will win against God. These demons had eyes that were set way back into their heads, and they had hair all over their bodies. And in hell, my friends, they were real looking. They were like looking at a real solid form. But on earth, I know that they're invisible to the human eye. But in hell, they had forms and they had bodies that were very real. There were different shapes, different sizes, and they seemed to be like in one place and then another very fast. But I remember how this larger demon instructed them to be aware of the power of God and those that had the power of the Lord Jesus and they could cast them out. And how Jesus told me also to remember how that in his mighty name we can cast devils out and people will be set free. And how his angels were always watching over his people and protecting them. We walked on down a pathway past the demons that were talking, and we came to another pit. Cries of pain and unforgettable sounds were everywhere. There was weeping and gnashing of teeth echoing in and out and through hell. Especially through this part seemed to be a different degree of torment. I watched in horror as we came to another skeleton form, and my friends, he seemed to have a make-believe book in his hands. In horror, I watched as the man spread his hands as if he was holding a book, and he began to read scriptures from a make-believe book. Listen to what I'm about to tell you. It will shock you. It did me. Remember, Jesus said, you have all your senses in hell, those that you died with, and they're a lot stronger here. The Lord said, listen, my child, to this man. The man began to read scripture after scripture. Jesus said to the man with much love, peace be still. The man immediately stopped talking, and the form slowly turned and looked at Christ. The man's soul was inside this form, and he said to Jesus, Lord, I will now preach the truth to all people. Let me go tell others of this horrible place. I knew on earth I did not believe there was a hell. I preached that there was not a hell, nor did I believe you were coming again. I compromised with people in my church. I did not like anyone who was different in race, creed, or color. I caused many to fall away from your laws. I made my own rules of heaven and hell, right and wrong. Oh, my God, I led many astray. I caused many to stumble at your holy word, and I knew better. Lord, I took money from the poor, but oh, my God, let me out. My soul is in torment. Have not I paid enough for my sin? I will do right now, Lord. I won't take money from the church anymore, and I now repent. I will love all race of people. Jesus said, you distorted the holy word of God. You lied about knowing the truth. You knew better, Jesus said. The pleasures of life were more important to you. And I even came to you myself to turn you back unto me, but you would not listen. You went on in your own way, and evil was your God. My friend, you knew the truth, but you would not repent or return unto the Lord your God. I was there all the time waiting on you to truly turn back unto me and stop the sin and the things you were doing. The judgment of God has been set. I wanted you to repent, but you would not. Sadness was all over the faces of Christ as we walked away from the pitiful old soul burning in fire and preaching in hell. We walked on down the pathway, and as we did, my friend, hands reached out to Jesus calling for mercy with terrible pains in their voices. Their bony hands were black and gray from burning. No life, no blood, or no flesh, no organs. All was dead and gray and burning. Within myself I was crying, O earth, repent. Repent unto God truly of your sins. Moans and cries and screams of horror were heard in every place. We walked on down the pathways, and I remember thinking, oh, my God, how horrible to behold these thousands of souls lost in hell. As we walked on, bony hands seemed to reach out to Christ as we walked on through the pits of fire. No life, no blood, no flesh, or no organs, all was dead and burning. Within myself, I was crying, oh, people of the earth, repent before you come here. Moans and cries and screams of sorrow was heard in all places. There seemed to be an echo of souls crying out to the Lord Jesus to have mercy upon their souls. We seemed to walk for some time among these pits of fire, and people were crying for mercy uncontrollably. Oh, Jesus, I cried, give me strength to go on. Jesus said, my word is true. Unless people repent of their sins and ask me to come into their hearts and save their souls, my daughter, and truly repent and turn unto me, they will be lost and come to this horrible place. They must recognize their sins and come unto me, for I am faithful and I am just, and I will not cast them away. We stopped at a soul in a pit of fire that was burning, and when they spoke, I knew it was a woman. He turned and looked upon the soul of a woman as she cried out unto the Lord. I felt such pity for all these souls and such sorrow that I could hardly stand. Great sobs shook me. Oh, Jesus, I cried. Oh, how horrible to behold the horrors of hell. This woman stood in the center of flames that covered her whole body, and the flames flickered up around her as she raised her arms to Jesus, crying, "Let me out, let me out." Oh, my God, her bones were full of worms and dead flesh, just like the others, as she cried out to Jesus. Jesus said, "Woman, you were given chance after chance to repent. You hardened your heart towards God and did as you please. The desires and the pleasures of life were more important to you than God and His laws. Jesus said, every soul that is in hell had many chances to receive me, my child. Many had heard the gospel over and over, time after time. Every soul that is in hell has heard the gospel at one time or another in this section of hell. Jesus said, people must hear the gospel and repent of their sins and confess to the Father in my name. I've taken the keys of death and hell away from Satan. Come unto me and be saved from this place. All whoremongers will have their part in the lake of fire unless they repent of their sins and come unto me." This woman had sinful affairs with many men and caused many homes to be broken up. Yet I loved her still. I would have forgiven her if she had truly returned unto me. I did not come to condemn the world, but through me they may be forgiven and delivered from their sins, for I alone have the power to deliver from sin, Jesus said. Many were sent to her to tell her to repent of what she was doing and the life she was living, but she would not hear and she would not listen. As a young woman, I called her. Yes, she did many wrongs, and I would have forgiven her if she had called upon me. My blood was shed at Calvary that her sins could be washed away, but she would not hear, and she would not listen. Dear Lord, I cried as we walked away, leaving the old soul burning in fire. How pitiful to be lost in hell for eternity. Do not people recognize that their soul will live for eternity? People, if Jesus had not been with me, I could not give you this report. The Lord said, Satan does not want the world to know about hell. Satan does not want the truth of this revealed, but it shall be revealed, saith the Lord Jesus. It shall be told unto the world. Nowhere in all my life had I ever imagined hell was like this. We walked on. I said, Jesus, when will this end? Jesus said, my child, only the Father knows when the end shall come. Tenderly, Jesus' voice spoke to me again, peace be still. Great strength came unto me, and I followed on beside the Lord. I could feel such tenderness, such deep love, pure, undefiled love coming from the Lord. And He said, my child, it is now time to go home. Tomorrow we will return to another part of hell. At home, I cried and wept, reliving the horrors of hell. During the day, I would pray and I would ask God for divine direction how to tell this unto the world. The next night, again, the Lord appeared to me and we went back into hell. Again, we walked between the flaming pits and we passed many people in the same torments as I have described earlier. And as I share this testimony with you, it is real. It is real, my friend. For far beneath the earth, even now as I'm telling this, there are souls burning in hell fire. They feel the fire, the worms, and the pain, and the hurts, and their cries fill me with much grief. Those souls that we talk to, my friends, are real. They used to be alive upon this earth. And I pray that this testimony of hell touches your heart. I pray that your life is changed as you hear more about hell. We walked on to another pit, and Jesus spoke to a woman that was standing in a pit of fire. He said, while on earth, I called and called you to come unto me and get your heart right with God, to forgive others, to be kind and good, and to love the truth and righteousness. I even visited you many times in the midnight hour to tell you of my love and to draw you unto myself by my spirit. You said you would follow me. With your lips, you said you love me, but you did not mean it with your heart. Jesus said, I sent others to tell you time after time to repent of your sins. I wanted to use you to minister to others and help them find me, the living Christ. You wanted the world instead of me. And the Lord began to continuously tell her how He had dealt with her, how He had called her, had sent people to prophesy to her, yet she hardened her heart against the Lord. The soul and the shell of this woman was talking to Jesus. Jesus said, "Oh woman, you're still full of lies and sin. Yes, I called you, but you would not hear. Being a church member does not get you to heaven. You must be born again of the Spirit of God to enter heaven. You cannot go to heaven with sin in your life. Your sins were many and you would not repent. You caused many to stumble at my word. You would not forgive others of what they did to you. You pretended to love and serve me in front of Christians and in church. But away from church, you lied, you cheated, and you stole. You led a fruitless life. You gave heed to seducing spirits and enjoyed your double life. As Christ talked to this soul, I recognized that she had been leading a double life of only earth. She had lied to her friends. She had never truly given her heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. She was fooling people, but she had not fooled God." Jesus went on to talk to her, and he said, "You will not listen to my spirit of compassion." He said, "When people were sent your way, you judged the outside and not the inside. You sinned in your heart and would not repent. Many people, after receiving me, need deep healing inside, extra love, extra care. Many were abandoned, many were raped and abused and forced to sin and do evil, and you were very hard on them and very cruel. You judged the outside of the person. You were very cruel and hard. You would not repent. You knew the ways of the Lord and you understood, but yet you led a double life." The Lord was talking to this soul burning in hell fire. And the Lord didn't seem to have much compassion on this soul because she seemed to have rejected over and over and over again the word of the Lord. We walked away from this pitiful soul crying. Jesus said, "Many in the last days shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and serve sin." He says, "Come out from among them and be separated unto the Lord. Choose you this day whom you shall serve." The next pit we came to had the form also of a skeleton burning in fire as the others. I smelt the odor of death, and there was a horrible, horrible odor echoing through this place. This soul began to talk unto Jesus. I listened to this soul speak to the Lord. She was speaking the word of God. "Dear Lord, what is she doing here?" I cried. The woman said, "Jesus is the way, the truth, and the light of the world is Jesus. Follow him all your life and serve him. He loves you and will save you. Come unto him." I thought, "My Lord, what is she doing speaking the word of God here in hell?" A demon come up and shoved the spear at her and told her to shut up. Other echoes of hell of souls begin to scream at her to stop. And I cried out to the Lord, "Oh my God, why is this woman here?" Jesus said, "Listen, my child. She was called to me at the age of 30 to preach the word of God and to be a witness of the gospel. She knew the truth." Then the Lord begins to go on and explain about this woman's call of God and how she obeyed God, how she took the word of God and she began to preach the gospel, and how she began to go out all over the world and minister. And then she began to tell how she taught about holiness and how she was faithful in her house and as the years went on and how pitiful this woman's cries was unto the Lord. And I thought within myself, "God, what is she doing in hell?" Jesus said, "Hear and listen what the Spirit of the Lord is saying unto the churches. One day while this woman was out preaching, she found out that her husband had committed adultery upon her. The man came to his wife and repented. He was tempted by the devil, and he gave in to temptation. This woman knew the word of God. She knew to forgive, but she would not forgive her husband. He went to the church, and he repented unto the church, and she yet would not forgive him nor ask God to help her. Her husband was wrong and did sin, but this woman knew my word. She knew to forgive, and she knew with every temptation there is a way of escape. Anger began to grow inside of her, and she would not give it to me, saith the Lord Jesus. She turned more bitter each day and said in her heart, 'Here I am serving God, and he's running around on me. Do you think that is right?' The Lord said, 'I begin to deal with her to give this burden unto me, but she would not.' Jesus said, 'Many times I tried to reach out and talk to her, but she would not listen. Her heart grew bitter and much sin entered in. Murder grew in her heart. Instead of love, anger. Hate began to grow inside of her. One day she was so angry, she killed her husband and the other woman. Satan took her over completely and she killed herself. I looked at this poor soul lost in flames of hell, and I listened as she spoke. The cries of this woman were so sad, and she cried out to the Lord. I will forgive now, Lord, she said. Let me out, let me out. I will obey you now, God. I am preaching your word in hell. Can't you see? She said, in an hour, demons will come and take me to be tormented worse. For hours they would torment me because I used to preach your word. My torments are worse, Lord, because I was a preacher of your word. With sorrow, Jesus and I walked away. He looked up and cried, my Father, have mercy. Repent, O earth, for the sins of this life or death, I cried. Children, do not take drugs. Call upon the Lord Jesus Christ and he will deliver and help you. He has many angels to send to help you. Do not take things to hurt your body. Call upon the Lord and he will hear and answer. You shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. There is hope in Jesus Christ. He loves you. And now, my friends, I feel the Spirit of God. I feel led to pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I pray right now. I pray for grace and strength for people to continue on in the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray for those out there, Lord God, to turn from darkness into light. I pray for people out there, Lord God, that the deliverance power of the Holy Spirit go forth and that chains are broken off of people. I pray, Lord God, that you bring people out of darkness into light with this gospel. I pray, Lord, that the Spirit of the living God opens up people's eyes that they can see and come back unto you, Lord Jesus. I pray, Father, and ask that the anointing of the Lord flow forth over this, Lord God, and that many are set free. And I pray, Father, this goes around the world, that many can come unto you and to be saved. And if there's anybody out there that's hearing this, that's not born again, ask Jesus Christ into your heart. Ask the Lord Jesus to forgive you. Ask the Lord Jesus to save your soul and wash your sins away by the blood of Jesus. Ask him to strengthen you and lead and guide you. I pray for you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I am Mary Catherine Baxter, chosen of God to share with you the mysteries and hidden treasures that God has revealed unto me. As I continue my testimony, I yield unto the Holy Spirit to lead and guide me as I share with you the mysteries of Christ for the end times. We must recognize that we're serving a God of love, but also a God of wrath and a God of judgment. He is just and a righteous God, and we must wake up to the truth and have a just balance in his holy word. Jesus said to me, we're going to go back to the belly of hell, for hell lies on her back in the center of the earth. Jesus gave me the exact measurements of hell. God wants you to be aware of the horrors of hell. As we walked on into hell again, ahead of us I could see much light. It was a dim yellow light. We came out of the left leg of hell onto a dirty ledge. And as far as I could see was much activities ahead of us. Jesus said, you're in the belly of hell. Jesus said, if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I would hear from heaven and heal their lands and their bodies. There is a heaven and there is a hell. People, wake up, obey the gospel, and live unto righteousness. These things are faithful and true. Remember, only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life will enter into heaven. The first activity we came in the belly of hell was on a small, dark hill in a corner. There seemed to be a circular area in the belly of hell. As I stood with Jesus and looked out over this vastness of hell, the Lord Jesus spoke unto me again and said, peace be still. I am going to reveal many things unto you, my daughter, to be told unto the world. We are in the belly of hell. He said, these things are happening now, my child, and will continue until death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. Much sorrow, much grief, and evil are ahead of us. Hearken, Jesus said unto me, what you're about to hear is true. Take heed, you ministers of the gospel, for these are true and faithful sayings. Awake, evangelists, preachers, and teachers of my word, all of you that are called of the Lord to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus spoke with such sternness. Jesus was firm and full of authority when he said these words unto me. And I looked, and this is what I saw. I saw small, dark-clothed figures marching around an object in this part of hell. We walked closer, and I said to the Lord Jesus Christ, what is this? My friends, I could feel fear like I had never felt before. I wondered, oh, my Lord Jesus, what is this? After Jesus had spoken with such authority and seeing the dark figures marching around an object, I wondered within myself, my Lord Jesus, what could this be? Jesus knew my thoughts, and he said, child, hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying unto the churches. He said, there is a soul inside that object. Come, and I will show you. We seemed to be in the air above this object, and as I looked, my friends, it was in the shape of a coffin. And this may sound horrible to you and unbelievable, but this is true. This is what I saw. I saw small, dark figures marching around a type of coffin, and it seemed as if the top had rolled back, and there inside was the same type of skeleton form I had seen all through hell. And my brothers and sisters, these demon spirits was tormenting this soul within this coffin. It was the soul of a man, and the screams and the cries of this soul echoed through hell. No hope, no love. This soul had lost all feeling of ever being helped. There was such a cry of hopelessness coming from the soul. I heard a cry of despair and sorrow fill the air as he screamed for mercy and for help. This soul had abandoned all hope. Oh, my Lord Jesus, can you not let him out? So pitiful was the cries of this soul. Jesus said, peace be still, my child. The man saw the Lord, and he began to cry out to the Lord Jesus for mercy. He said, my Lord, let me out, let me out. Have mercy on my soul. I have been here for such a long time. Jesus said unto me, this soul, my child, was a preacher of my word. He used to serve me with all his heart, and he led many unto salvation. Some are still serving me today. With sadness, Jesus spoke these words. My word means what it says, be ye holy, for I am holy. My word says, keep my commandments and love the brethren. The lust of the flesh, my daughter, the deceitfulness of riches led him astray. He let Satan rule him in the end instead of my spirit. My daughter, he had a wonderful big church, a fine car, a very large income. He began to steal from the church offerings and began to teach lies, and he knew better. Oh, my Lord, I felt such sorrow and compassion for this soul, for I could hear the cries of this man so pitifully as Jesus spoke. My child, Jesus said he spoke part lies and part truth. He would not let me correct him. I sent many to him to tell him to repent and preach the truth again, but he would not. He knew the true gospel of Jesus Christ, but he loved the pleasures of this life more than the life of God and the praises of man. He knew not to teach or preach any other doctrine except the truth. He caused many to stumble and fall in the end. He once knew holiness. He knew not to sin. He said the Holy Ghost was a lie in the end. He said you could be a drunkard and get to heaven even if you did not repent. Much sin entered into him, my child, and he would not repent. He said God would not send you to hell. God was too good for that. He caused many to fall from the word of the Lord. He said he did not need me, for he was as God. He also said he wanted to open seminars for this kind of teaching. My holy word was trampled under his feet. Yet I loved him still. My child, remember, this soul knew my ways, my power. My anointing and my love was upon him, but he chose the world instead of me. It is better to have never known me than to know me and turn back from the Lord. If only he had listened to me. If only he had cared about his soul and others. He did not listen to me, and when I called, he would not hear. He had eyes to see and ears to hear, but he would not hear and he would not see. He loved the easy life. He listened to the voice of Satan instead of me. One day he was killed and came here. Satan torments souls more that have preached my word. This is his torment, my child. In horror, I watched the demons march around this coffin. Oh, my people, he seemed to have a real heart, and blood was running from it, and it was upon his hands. Jesus said, the blood of many are upon his hands. Jesus said he knew the truth, yet he would not obey the truth. Too late, too late. With sorrow of heart, we walked away, hearing the cries of this soul echo through hell. Oh, Lord, how awful, I cried. I felt so very sick inside. Satan is the deceiver of many. What you're about to see will help many to resist the devil. What I am telling you on these tapes will help many of you to understand the works of Satan. Oh, my Lord, how awful to be lost in hell forever. We walked on to a small clearing. There were stones all about and a wall made of dirt. Stones were above, and light filled the space above us. This place was about the size of a ballroom. I didn't understand why this was so. It seemed to be in color. Jesus said, what I'm going to reveal to you is about evil works of the devil, and I want it told unto the world. Jesus was revealing to me what goes on in hell and upon the earth. For out of the heart of hell comes forth invisible demon powers that join forces with the prince and powers of the air, causing much damage to the earth through Satan. But we have power over the devil in the name of Jesus. Jesus said Satan is a deceiver, and I will reveal his tricks unto many. And as he spoke and began to explain these things to me, where the stones were, there seemed to be music coming out into the air. And as I watched, I saw Satan come out, and two men on each side of him, and they had their backs unto me. They had a black robes on. And as Satan raised his arm, out of the side of the stone of this wall came five women. And these women had flesh upon them. They looked real. And they began to stand in a line before the devil. And they began to do types of dancing into music as Satan raised his arms. And I watched in horror as I looked at these beautiful women. They were beautiful in form. They seemed to be immaculate. But yet, somehow, inside of me, I knew they represented seducing spirits upon the lands. I watched as Satan raised his arm and the women stopped dancing, and there seemed to be fire that would come about their feet. An evil presence filled the place, an awful, evil, seducing presence of the devil. Oh, my God, I thought, what is he about to do? He began to speak to these women. He began to instruct them what to do upon the earth. And he began to tell them how they were going to go upon the earth and do certain things, demonic powers, evil forces in many places. He told them they would go all over the world and do seducing works for the devil, and they would begin to seduce souls into hell. I watched as he gave them commandments and he spoke unto them. And as they began to praise the devil, and he warned them if they would not listen to him, what would happen to him. He raised his arms again, and my children, right before my eyes, I saw their bodies begin to fall apart. And only a form remained full of demons and evil spirits. Only dead gray flesh remained, and their skeleton was full of demons. Oh, my God, I screamed to Jesus, what is this? The Lord said, listen and behold. These evil spirits began to cry unto Satan, dear Satan, we will obey you. Give us back our forms. And as they spoke, my people, snakes began to crawl out of these forms. Oh, my Lord Jesus, how horrible, I cried. Jesus said, hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying unto the churches. These skeleton forms possess much evil. I saw the evil beings speaking to Satan, but they could not see us. Oh, Satan, give us back our forms, they cried, and we'll obey and do your will. An evil laughter filled the air, and Satan waved his arm again, and the evil beings returned as women. Listen and obey, he said. Do my bidding at all costs and serve me. This is the devil talking. You shall keep these beautiful forms as long as you obey me. When I release you, you shall go up on the earth to all these places. And as I looked, Satan raised his arm again, and on the stone wall appeared a type of movie. And in this movie place, you could see all parts of the world. You could see stores, you could see banks, you could see nightclubs, a beach, a bakery shop, a department store. All over these places on this wall projected different places in the earth. Satan laughed and said, you will deceive many and cause many to fall from the truth of Jesus Christ. You shall seduce many. You shall go all over the world and do my works of evil and return to me with reports. My friend, the devil is real. We have power over the devil in the name of Jesus. But in the book of Ephesians, he says, put on the full armor of God that you may resist the devil and he will flee. Satan laughed and said, there is no end to what I will do. I watched the screen again and the people of all walks of life flashed before me. Satan said, I will send you evil seducing spirits to different parts of the world to get me souls. You shall lure souls into witchcraft, different cults and different sins, different false doctrines and different religions, to plant seeds of subjection, to lead men and women astray from the true gospel of Jesus Christ, and to destroy the works of Jesus Christ. This was Satan instructing these seducing spirits what to do upon the earth. People hear what Satan is trying to do. Satan told them, you shall have much power to use your invisible forms to do much harm. The carnal mind cannot see you. A tall stand was brought before the devil, and papers were upon it. He picked them up and began to read to these women, and he began to instruct them what to do. Jesus said, watch and hear and learn of the deceiving tricks of Satan. Satan instructed the women as this, pick out many souls each week and work on them. I will give you a certain number of days to accomplish this task. Now go to all the places that you see up on the screen. In 1 month you shall report here again, and I promise you that men will desire you and you will have other spirits to help you as you call. I will win against God, he cried. Jesus said, people, you are in a war against Satan. The devil raised his arm, and again as the women began to laugh and seemed to go up into a vapor of smoke up out of hell into the earth, I looked at the movie screen again and I saw these seducing spirits launching out over the earth. Satan said, I hate the Lord and I will work much evil against God. I will win. I thought, oh my Lord, how awful Satan is to do such horrifying things against God's people. I watched as this movie screen disappeared and a tall stand was again brought before the devil. He picked up some more papers and began to read them. And then I saw as he turned around and him and the men turned and vanished away. I pray that the prayer warriors out there hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying unto them. And they begin to cry out against sin and cry out against the works of darkness and to bind these seducing forces that Satan sends out of hell. For we have the power in the name of Jesus. Jesus said, these things are true and these sorrows are real, said Jesus. Souls are dying every seconds of time. Souls are slipping into hell. The screams are heard by the Spirit of God. Jesus said, we must work while it is day, for night cometh and no man shall work. The sickle is ready to gather the harvest. God's voice is like a trumpet. He spoke in a voice that sounds like many waters and said, listen and hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. Many of you in the valleys of decision, don't wait until Jesus says it's too late. Jesus will keep you from these deceiving and seducing spirits and give you wisdom over them. He said, I will protect you from evil. I will keep you in all your ways. I will save your family. I will save your loved ones. Call upon me today and live, saith the Lord. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the Spirit shall reap life everlasting, but he that soweth to the flesh shall reap corrupt. My friend, I'm trying to the best of my ability to reveal unto you what I saw and what I heard. These things are true, and they are revealed to the church in this hour. I pray that the knowledge of hell will be opened up to you. The Lord Jesus said, come, it is time to go. It is now the next night, and again we went back into hell. We entered into a large area, as I spoke about earlier, and far as I could see, were more activities in this part of hell, different types of torment and much evil. And they were like flash yellow fires here and there, and there was a smell, my friends, mixed with sulfur and dung, and an odor so horrible that I could hardly breathe, and I could hear again the cries of the dead. Many evil forms and spirit harried here and there, and all kinds of evil works seemed to go from this spot. There were many places of tormenting of souls in this area. Jesus said that this was 3 miles around. And Jesus said, look up. And that the belly of hell seemed to go in a circle up. And Jesus said there were 17 miles high, these jail cell was, above the belly of hell. There were jail cells embedded into the walls in the dirt of hell. Jesus said Satan is a tormentor and deceiver of souls. There are groups of demonic powers here that go up on the earth at times to hurt and afflict others. It looked like some kind of horror movie. Screams and cries and weeping and gnashing of teeth could be heard all over. Cries of regret, no hope. All love had departed, knowing that their destiny was the lake of fire. Oh, my God, how awful to be lost in hell. I looked at the ground. It was light brown in color. There was no life or grass. All was dead-looking. And for some reason, I knew a lake of fire flowed through here at times. Some places were damp and very dry with an awful odor of dung. A moldy smell filled the hot air. Satan, Jesus said, uses many devices to deceive people and lead them into hell. He said, come, I want to show you the torment of souls and more tricks of the devil. We walked a few feet past more evil beings, and ahead was a large black object that seemed to move up and down. Jesus said, this is the heart of hell. People, what I'm about to tell you is real. And believe me, it is in the center of the earth today as you hear this testimony of hell. As I watched this large black object moved up and down, and a foul odor filled the air even stronger, there were things that looked like horns, that looked like snake skin on the outside of it, that seemed to come out and go up through the earth. I knew that in hell they were visible to me, but above the earth they were invisible. And Jesus said these was the horns that Daniel saw. It comes out of hell and is spewed upon the earth. This thing was alive, and its color was the blackest of blacks. We walked on past the heart of hell, and Jesus and I began to go up on the ledges where the jail cells was in the center of hell. And again, Jesus said, these are 17 miles high. As far as I could see up were rows and rows of jail cells with a dirt ledge in front of them. And these jail cells were black, black bars, and there was a place for a lock. And every 25 feet was a large demon with a set of keys in his hand. And as I looked up, I wondered how we were going to get up there. And immediately, Jesus' power translated us up there. Jesus said, these things are faithful and true. Never before have I revealed them so clearly in detail to the people of the world. Death and hell one day will be cast into the lake of fire. Until then, my daughter, these cells will be here, full of souls with torment, suffering, and in great pain. Jesus said, remember, I will save you from this place. This is why I came to the earth, to give my life for you. I gave my life to stop you from coming here. I knew all these horrors were here. I am the Son of God, Jesus said. My Father's mercy is real. He will forgive you. Call to Him in my name today And Jesus said, I will wash away all your sins and keep you from all evil. Jesus said, the people must know that Jesus' love is real, that he loves them so much, that he gave his life upon a cross, upon Calvary, that his shedding of his blood could save us from this horrible place. If we would sincerely repent unto the Lord Jesus Christ and confess our sins unto him, he would be faithful and just and wash away all our sins and make us a new creature in him. We stepped onto a ledge about 4 feet wide, and as far as I could see was another ledge in a large circle. Behind the ledge embedded to the earth were jail cells, as I described earlier, one beside the other, and they were about a foot apart with dirt in between. Jesus said, these are 17 miles high, starting from the bottom of hell. Sin and demonic powers have put many souls here. You shall see and talk to many souls, my daughter, that were in witchcraft and who worked all kinds of abominations against God. Many of these have been here for hundreds of years, souls that would not repent, but worked evil against the Lord. People with familiar spirits, sorcerers, drunkards, evil women and men who would not repent. There are also others in these jail cells of other types of demonic works. Here are many people who worked much evil against the Lord. Many people knew to do good but would not. Evil and sin was in their life. Jesus said, my child, reprove the people. Behold, let those who hear understand. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Forsake evil, do good. Repent unto God in my name. I am the door, said Jesus. These things are faithful and true. He said, come and follow me. I walked on beside the Lord. I looked down to the center of hell where all the activities were, and there was a dim yellow light which filled the entire area. I could hardly make out the forms because as far as I could see, there was many, many cells ahead. I said, surely the ones in these cells could not be more horrible than the ones in the pit. I heard cries and moans and screams coming from the cells and was feeling very sick inside. Sorrow filled my heart. Jesus said, Satan has many ways to deceive people, many ways he uses to get people to turn from the true and living God, by temptation of drugs, strong drink, whoredom, witchcraft, idol gods. Many fall into sin. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. We began to walk on. A sound I began to hear got louder and louder. About 25 feet ahead, or every 25 feet, I saw a large demon about the size of a large bear. Great cries came from the inside of each cell. I walked very close to the Lord. Soon Jesus stopped in front of a cell. A light filled the area. Jesus made the light. I looked about me. There was dim yellow lights in many, many places, and I could make out in clear detail the area where we were. As we look, brothers and sisters, this is what I saw. Truly, this is what I saw. A skeleton form of an old soul set in a type of chair, a rocking chair. I don't know why this woman seemed to look it real and then vanish into a skeleton form. I was shocked. Nothing was in this dirt cell except this old chair. The cell's walls were made of clay dirt and molded into the earth. And the only part of the cell that was metal was the front door. Oh, my Lord, how horrible to behold. I looked at the old woman, and for a second or so, she seemed to have real flesh, color mixed with gray. She rocked back and forth, and as she did, tears rolled down her cheeks. I screamed and said, oh, my God, why is she here? She was in great pain, and I wondered, oh, my God, what had she done? All of a sudden, the old woman began to change forms. I was in shock as I saw this. Great cries of pain came from her. There seemed to be a constant changing of her features, and then she would return back into her skeleton form. When she saw Jesus, she cried, "O Lord, have mercy upon me. Let me out of this place of torment." She sat up in the chair and reached her old bony hands out to Jesus, but could not touch him. And she changed again. I stood beside Jesus, and in horror and astonishment, I said, "Oh, my Lord, what is happening?" She said, "Jesus, I know now your love is real. I know your love is true. Let me out, let me out." Cries of despair came from her. In horror, I watched as part of her flesh began to be removed by something. Jesus said, "My child, she's not what she appears to be." She fell back into the chair, still suffering in hell. Only a skeleton form remained, and a dirty mist inside that was her eternal soul. Black burning holes remained where eyes should have been. Empty socket, moans, and cries of regret came from within her. Oh, how sad was this woman. Jesus said, "Many times while on earth I called her to repent." She said, "I have no time for you, Lord. I like the things I am doing. I like serving Satan. Him I will follow." She laughed at the ones I sent to tell her of my love and my power to deliver her from evil. She enjoyed the evil she did. She would not listen. She was in witchcraft. From a child, she was taught to practice witchcraft. The powers of darkness were in her family. Many of her people are in hell today because they would not repent of their evils. She caused many harm to many people. She was a worshiper of Satan. They loved darkness more than light. They served Satan all their lives. And when the gospel was told them, they rejected the truth and would not repent of their evils. Jesus looked at her with great pity. "It is too late now, too late. If only she'd given her heart to Jesus," I thought. The old woman began to cry and shake and cry out to Jesus for mercy. How pitiful, an awful, awful thing to be lost in hell. Jesus said after death she arrived here. She was deceived into believing Satan's lies. Satan told her that he would give her a kingdom and that she would never die. My friends, you need to hear what God is revealing to you, to all of you who are in the occult, who worship the devil. Please listen. I beg you to open up your heart unto Jesus and hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying unto the churches. Jesus said Satan told her that she would never die and would serve him forever, and that he was the giver of life eternal. Satan is full of lies. He deceived her right into hell, and this is her torment. This is her kingdom. She thought when she came here that she would still carry on her evils. This is her end. And then she'll be cast into a lake of fire to be burned for eternity at the day of judgment, where the beast and the false prophet shall be. Jesus said, "In hell you remember all you did on earth. You remember all who came and told you about the way of truth and of salvation and about my power to forgive sins. There is no excuse." The scriptures say in Luke 16:25, "Son, remember that thy lifetime receiveth the good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but he is comforted, and now thou art tormented." Jesus said, "So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire." Matthew 13:49-50. And the Apostle John, in relating his visions of the beast and the false prophet, said, "They were both cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone." Revelation 19:20. My friend, the Word of God is true and it does not lie. I pray that you grab hold of these truths and shout it everywhere you go. And tell the people there's a living, burning hell. Tell the people in the cult world to wake up. Tell the people that are in idol worship to wake up and stop their sinning and turn unto a living God, and to quit worshiping false gods and false idols. God means what he says. He wants to give his people joy. He wants to give his people love. He wants to give his people deliverance and power from these evils. "There's no excuse, saith the Lord, for those who know the wages of sin is death. If she had repented before death, truly repented, I would have forgiven her and saved her soul and set her free." but she would not listen. This is her end. O earth, Satan promised her a kingdom of her own. She caused many souls to follow Satan. This was to be her reward from the devil, a kingdom of her own. Quote, she praised the devil and trained many black witches and white witches in the way of black arts of Satan's kingdom. She was a server of Satan. When she appeared to Satan after her death, he laughed at her and said, this is your kingdom, hell. He said, I deceived you on earth to get your soul, and I got many others in the process. You shall be here in this torment of hell forever, Satan said to her. I hate you. The woman was brought to this cell by demons and tormented night and day. This is her reward for following Satan. Satan did this to her. She is changing from one form to another, but her real form is the soul inside her skeleton. May the unjust find out before it's too late. Satan is a liar and will destroy you if he can. After a season, she'll be brought before the devil and greater torments will be afflicted her soul. Jesus said, I called her many times to repent of her evil, but she would not. Many are in these jail cells, such as her, that was in cults of witchcraft and Buddha worship and idol worship across the land. Her end is what you see and theirs. On the great and final day, death and hell will be cast into a lake of fire. Oh, my Lord, how horrible. I looked at the woman who was lost forever in suffering and pain and said, Lord, Lord, have mercy. We saw a large demon coming to the front of her cell, and as if he did not see us, he was making a loud noise. An awful odor came from him, and his color was brown and dirty looking. His wings seemed to be broken at the top, and the woman screamed in horror as he came near her. Oh, Jesus, I cried, what is happening? This demon torments her often, and I watched as he took her off somewhere. Oh, my Lord, how horrible. I heard moans and groans from all the cells as we went from cell to cell. We stopped pretty soon in front of another one, and again, this is what I saw. There was a woman who had a color of a blue-gray, and parts of her decaying flesh were missing as the others. Blackness was in her bones. She had on some type parts of clothing which were on fire, and worms were crawling in and out of her form. An awful odor came from this jail cell. Torn rags hung from her arms, and they were on fire burning, but the fire did not seem to burn up the rags. In horror, I looked at her. Oh, my Lord, how horrifying. She seemed to have something in her hand. Great sobs shook her body, and great wailing cries of regret came from her. Jesus said she also was a servant of the devil. She sold her soul to Satan to work for him, and she did much, much evil. She taught and practiced witchcraft to many and turned many to the path of sin. She was a soothsayer, a diviner, and a medium for Satan. She gained much favor with the devil and all the evils that she did. She knew how to use her powers of darkness for herself and Satan. She went to devil worship services. She was, at one time, a powerful tool for the devil. She practiced black arts and was full of dead man's bones. I looked at this pitiful soul, now lost for eternity. Dirty pieces of cloth were falling from her hands, and sorrow filled my soul. She seemed to hold tight to some type of rag, and as I looked, it was a type of rag doll. The smell of death filled the place, and I saw the woman change as the other one, and I screamed, and I said, oh, my God, what is this? I had never been in the cult. I'd never known anything about witchcraft except what the Holy Spirit had told me and what I'd learned in church and by other people, and this was horrifying to see. Oh, Lord, how horrible to be lost in hell. Jesus said, talking about the woman, she sold her soul to the devil to get much evil powers from him. Many of you listening to this tape need to hear and understand. She had gifts of evil. These was powers of darkness she used. Some people on earth work in the occult, the witchcraft shops, palm readers, and cults of all kinds to pull many souls unto the devil. A medium of Satan is a powerful tool of evil. They are being deceived and fooled by the devil. Some workers of darkness cannot speak to Satan unless their medium speaks through them. They make human sacrifice to the devil. They try many ways to stop the true gospel of Jesus Christ from being preached. If the world only knew the depths and degrees and torments the devil goes and does to the hearts and soul of mankind, they would surely turn unto Jesus Christ. Again, Jesus began to stress how his blood was shed to save people from hell, and how he would wash away the sins if the people would only repent unto him. Jesus said there are many all over the earth who sell their souls to Satan, thinking they will live forever. But they will not. But they will die a horrible death. They should believe God's word. Satan does many evils to try to overthrow God's plan, but he shall not. He was defeated at the cross at Calvary. Jesus took the keys from Satan. It is not the Father's will that anyone perish. The first place Jesus Christ went off the cross was into hell and wrestled that old devil and took the keys away of death and hell. Jesus said after this woman died, her judgment was hell. The demons brought her before Satan. In anger, she asked why the demons controlled her, for on earth she controlled them. She asked the devil for her kingdom as he had promised her, and he laughed at her, and he told her the same as the other woman, that he hated her. He told her that the Bible was a lie. He had told her on the earth that God was not true. Satan laughed now at the woman as she cried for her kingdom. He said, "This is your kingdom. I am your kingdom." People, do you not see the tricks of the devil? Do you not see how the devil deceives people right into following him? He laughed and scorned in her face. Satan is the father of liars. He spoke to the woman, "I deceived you to be used by me. I used you for many years. I will never give you my kingdom." The devil moved his arm at the woman, and it seemed as if her very flesh was being ripped off her bones. She screamed in pain as a large black book was brought before the devil. She screamed in horror as the fires burned her. He opened it and read his finger down the pages until he found her name. He said, "Yes, you did serve me on earth. You got me many souls. Your punishment will not be as bad as the others." Evil laughter rang out from him. Satan stood and pointed a finger at her, and as he did, a great wind, an evil force, filled the air. A howling thunder arose from him, and Satan said, "Get your kingdom if you can." She fell to the ground as she tried to get up. Great sobs of regret came from the woman as demons began to attack her and on her bones. People where she seemed to have flesh now was gone, and only her bones remained. Great cries of sorrow filled the air as she was taken to this jail cell. Oh, Lord, how horrible to be lost in hell. We must cry out against sin and against the cult and people that worship idols and Buddhas. She was told Satan could stop anything from killing her. Satan promised her glory and fame, but deceived her and led her to hell. All the souls that take any part in witchcraft, evil occult, demonic powers, black magic, idol worship, or any form of satanic worship will go to hell if they do not repent. Repent now and call upon the Lord. I was sick many days.